Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley will make history when they break the bond from Earth in a SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule that's never been flown by humans before. But find out how the strong bond of friendship they share gives them the edge in space. Next on the Rocket Ranch.
EGS Program Chief Engineer, verify no constraints to launch.
3, 2, 1, and liftoff.
Welcome to space.
Along with launch crews from NASA and SpaceX, astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley have been very busy preparing for spaceflight. They will be the first humans to fly to the International Space Station from right here at the Kennedy Space Center since the space shuttle retired in 2011. We caught up to them on a very windy day out at historic Pad 39A to talk about the historic mission, their friendship, and how their families are coping with the risk of their spaceflight.
Guys, we're standing in the shadow of a Falcon 9 rocket and a capsule that will be just, you know, it'll be just like this when you guys fly. What are you feeling right now as you stand here and gaze upon this rocket and spacecraft?
You know, it's really exciting for us to get down here and actually see each of these tests as we go forward and to see the progress. When we came down for demo one, we walked down in the pad, but we did it in our flight suits like we did, like we're dressed right now. Today, when we went out to the pad, we actually wore the SpaceX suit and went through that entire exercise all suited up just like we will for demo two. And so pretty high fidelity simulation, but when we do it next time, you know, there won't be two mannequins in our seats when we get there. the space will be empty and we'll get a chance to do it. So it definitely makes it a little bit more routine, which is how you really want launch day to be. You want it to know what you're getting yourself into and then to go execute it. And so this just was one more of those steps along the way to get to that point.
No, it's certainly exciting. I mean, you know, we were here for DM1, and that was exciting, kind of going through the whole process there, watching it launch and go to station. We got out to Hawthorne for the recovery of that vehicle. Being here, you know, doing another dress rehearsal for our launch day in conjunction with IFA has been great.
A unique aspect of this test flight is the two of you guys are best friends, known each other for a long time. You both graduated in the same astronaut class in 2000. And you both married astronauts and were in each other's wedding. What's that like, having a best friend that's flying with you on this test flight?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think for me, you know, I remember John Young saying this a lot more than once. It's not what you do in space, it's who you do it with. And, you know, this is really neat to be able to fly with your best friend into space. And it's just, you know, you never think it's going to happen. Obviously, we've had it happen over the years. I think folks that were close friends have flown together before, but you know, it's a neat experience. And then to add on top of it, the fact that it's a, you know, the first flight of a vehicle is pretty neat. We consider ourselves pretty lucky.
I think, you know, in addition to the, you know, the perks of, you know, being with a close friend, of course, and being with your best friend, there's the other piece that we know what each other thinks about just about everything. And so, you know, we can think ahead in terms of what the other person's going to need or what the other person's going to want, anticipate the next input, you know, all those sorts of things, which really, in a test flight like this, goes a long way. You know, you can really anticipate the other person's reactions versus to have a, well, I don't know, Doug, how do you feel about the next series of events. I already know the answers to those questions, and it makes a big difference when you're, you know, doing something as critical as spaceflight.
So one of you is for redundancy then.
Yeah, mostly.
When both of you flew space shuttle, it had already had 100 flights under the belt of the program. It was a well-oiled machine. This is the first time that this will be flown by humans. So what's the difference in terms of mindset?
You know, one of the things that, you know, folks often will look at the shuttle and talk about the history and how much practice we had before we launched those vehicles when our opportunities came. It's really good with this vehicle that the Falcon 9 has such a long heritage and has so many flights under its belt, even with the Block 5 configuration that will be the crew configuration, you know, multiple flights flying in that configuration before we get on board. And so that team is using the same people. And it's a very well-oiled machine on that end. And then on the cargo side, you know, several cargo missions, of course, way into the double digits for heading to space station at this point. It really gives you confidence that those teams are actually pretty well oiled and pretty experienced as they come together to try to do this with humans on board. So the step is not quite as big as it might necessarily appear, because the team has worked so hard to make that operation for Falcon 9 for everybody be so similar, and then the cargo mission, you know, history leading into the crew missions.
Yeah, it's almost like we, you know, the vehicle's now talking back sometimes. And I think that's one of the biggest things for SpaceX as a company needing to get used to, is just kind of what we would say and what we're seeing in the vehicle and experiencing and what they need to say back to us. Because obviously with Cargo Dragons, they've never had crew on board. So, but it's been an interesting process kind of developing that not only the training, but the simulations and then obviously the final exam will be DM2.
Both of you guys helped develop this spacecraft. Is there anything that has like your signature on it, like Bob designed that little knob or Doug helped make that screen that way?
We've tried very hard to not make it a vehicle that just Bob likes or just Doug likes. You know, this is a vehicle for everybody after us that's going to fly it, you know, and so you have to, you know, provide those inputs in that vein, I think is the best way to put it. And you're trying to make a vehicle that is easy to operate in space, easy to interpret what it's telling you, easy to get in, get out of it, all those things that you need to do that need to be well-oiled for a space vehicle. We're trying to, you know, add our inputs that helps everybody who flies this vehicle.
Both of you married astronauts. I'm wondering if when you get ready to kind of help your family understand the risk that you're taking here with this test flight, if it's any easier knowing that both of your spouses were astronauts and they understand very well the risk that goes with this.
One of the things I think that we're really lucky to have is spouses that really understand, you know, the situations that we're going to be in. They understand what our role has been as we've worked with the folks out in Hawthorne, as we travel down here to go through an exercise. They understand what it's like to be at the other end of this camera and answer questions with you. And so that goes a long way to kind of shortening how much you have to, you know, communicate where the other person, how their day went and things along those lines. I think if the spouses don't have as similar of a career background, it seems like it could be difficult. You know, I only have the one experience, and I think it would be difficult for me as a person to really convey the challenges that I have on a given day or why I'm confident on a given day or celebrate the successes the same way if my spouse didn't understand them as deeply as, you know, having an astronaut spouse does. And so, you know, it's kind of like our son only knows it one way as well. You know, he's got two parents that fly in space, and so that's probably better than I have one that does and one that doesn't. It works out really well for us.
And I think just like any other family, you share the ups and downs. You know, we've been doing this for coming up on 5 years as commercial crew astronauts. So, you know, they haven't all been great days, but some have been really great days. And I think that's just part of it. And they, you know, you just try to keep them in the loop as much as possible, just like you would in any other career path. So I think they appreciate that. But by the same token, they certainly understand it to a greater detail because of what they do as well.
Doug and Bob, we wish you great success on your first test flight, and thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
You bet.
Thank you. I'm Daryl Nail, and that's our show. And thanks for stopping by the Rocket Ranch. A special thanks to our guests, Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken. To learn more about NASA's Commercial Crew Program, visit nasa.gov. And to learn more about everything going on at Kennedy, go to nasa.gov/Kennedy. And check out NASA's other podcasts to find out what's happening there at the centers at nasa.gov/podcasts. A special shout out to our producer, John Sackman, photographer Glenn Benson, soundman Kim Shiflett, and our editor, Michelle Stone. And remember, on the Rocket Ranch, you gotta keep looking up.